It is Free Talk Live. And of course, you're invited. If you would like to bring up anything that's on your mind, you can do that here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Bakeless Mountaineer.
And Bonnie.
And of course, you can take control of the airwaves. That is the point here on Free Talk Live. There's been a financial situation brewing for, well, a long time. I mean, just generally, the U.S. federal government's financial situation is a total nightmare. I mean, it's, almost $29 trillion in debt at the moment, and it is going to run out of money as far as Social Security and Medicare probably within the next roughly decade or so.
They said 12 years, so probably six.
Yeah, well, they said 12 years, and that was after they adjusted down from 13. So they're already changing their predictions about how long this is.
They could just print more.
Yeah, how long this house of cards is going to last. And, of course, that's one of the things that is contributing to all this, Peakless Mountaineer, is that the printing presses are running full speed ahead. They're printing more money. Of course, they're not really printing it. They just increment numbers in machines. You know, they just pump up
They don't have the resources
numbers
for anything physical to occur.
I mean, I'm sure they're still printing some of it out, but it's probably a fraction of the inflation that they're doing. Of course, inflation
I'm not sure that they're printing any of it out.
Yeah, coin shortage. U.S. national coin shortage, apparently, still.
Yeah, we still saw signs about the coin shortage when we were out at Home Depot earlier today.
Yeah, I mean, they are trying to move us to a cashless society, so I'm really not, I wouldn't be surprised if they're printing none of the money in actual physical terms.
So there's a story that came out a couple of weeks ago about the U.S. government on schedule to default on its national debt. Now, I'm not like some sort of finance expert or whatever, but usually when an individual defaults on debt, it means you can't pay your debt.
Right.
Right? Like if I loan you some money and you're like, sorry, man, I don't have any money. I don't have a job. I'm not going to meet my deadline. You were going to pay me back by the end of the month. And you're like, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you I'm not getting a job by the end of this month. And even if I did, I wouldn't have a check in time. So I'm defaulting on our agreement. And then something happens. You know, maybe the creditor, the person who loaned you the money, gives you a break. They say, all right, no worries. We'll kick the can down the road. We'll go another month.
Well, and a lot of times the way that they want to do that is they go, well, we'll go another month, but we're going to have to change what you owe me.
Yeah, they might.
So, like, exactly. So, like, I'll kick down the road, but you're going to have to pay me another 10% on top of that.
Right. So, it's easy to understand a default when it comes to a personal loan or a business loan or something like that. There's usually terms, right? Like when you sign off for the loan, there's terms about, like, if you don't pay this on time, here's what the penalty is. Mm-hmm. And you kind of know what you're getting into. When it comes to the government defaulting on debt, it's kind of hard to, like, wrap your mind around exactly what that means.
It definitely is.
Who do they borrow money from? China?
That's a great question.
China?
So,
well, in a lot of cases recently, they've been literally borrowing it from themselves.
From the Federal Reserve, I think, in that particular case?
Yeah, it used to be forbidden for them to do that. Like, they were the only ones not allowed to take that loan. Like, they had to sell treasury bonds to other people.
Right.
But recently, they've been buying those treasury bonds themselves because they have set up a system where, like, it has to go faster and faster and faster, so they have to sell more and more and more treasury bonds.
We were looking at these treasury bonds the other day, just out of curiosity. I've never looked into these things before. Like, people always say that, oh, you buy the treasury bonds because the government's guaranteed to pay them because they're going to steal money from people to, you know, make sure they pay their bonds, right? You buy these bonds, and then after some amount of time, they mature, and you can then get paid for those bonds, and it's supposed to be some amount over the amount you paid for it.
But it's like 0.00001%.
It is near to nothing now. These treasury bonds pay you. It is not even worth the time it takes to make a phone call or fill out whatever the form is that you would have to. I mean, you would literally have to buy billions of dollars worth of these things in order for it to be, like, worth
anything.
Anything.
Yeah. And well, so, and the big problem with Treasury bonds is because they're printing this at an extraordinary rate. Because, I mean, every time someone makes a loan, that money gets borrowed into existence. So every bank anywhere in the country,
right.
every loan that they make is increasing the money supply. And that changes the value of the dollar so much more than you're getting in exchange for these Treasury bonds that you are effectively losing money by holding them.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. You can go and buy virtually any cryptocurrency in the top 100 out there, wait for a month, and there's a good chance you'll have significantly more than whatever any of these treasury bonds. Now, of course, there's the chance the cryptocurrency could go down in value, but if you look at the history of it, it's tended to go upwards.
And more importantly, wait a year and watch it just go through the roof.
Oh, good chances. Yeah. Wait 5 years, almost, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's a guarantee, but... I mean, you can look at the past.
There are no guarantees.
No, there are no guarantees.
But the track record is pretty substantial on that
point. Well, one thing you can guarantee is that the value of the dollar is going to go down. I mean, there's no doubt about that as a fact. So, but it's easy to like we talk generally about like the basics about inflation here on Free Talk Live. This isn't a financial show. We're not licensed financial advisors or anything. I'm not going to tell you. Right. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I might say what it has been that I have done or that the Shire Free Church has done. You know, I can give examples of things in the past. But like you said, we can't make predictions about the future, but it's not a hard thing to predict that the dollar is going to go down in value because they keep on printing them out. But
has there ever been a time when it went up in value?
Before 1913.
When it stopped being backed by gold.
Yeah. Yep, that was it.
So let me get into this story here from thehill.com. Again, this came out a couple weeks ago, and we'll follow up with some of the more recent news. But this kind of paints a picture of what this idea of the government defaulting on its debt actually means. So Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen recently warned congressional leaders that the U.S. is on track to default on the national debt in October.
Oh, wow.
If the White House and Congress are unable to raise the debt limit... Which is something they're always arguing about over the years. It's like, well, we need to raise the debt limit. No, we shouldn't. Okay, when they always end up doing it. Right? Well,
yeah, is this just completely arbitrary? Like the Congress just decides whatever the limit is?
Yeah. So there's nothing in the Constitution about having a debt ceiling or anything like that.
Wow.
But they like to appear like they're being safe with your money and limiting how much spending because like. I mean, obviously they're not, but people want to think that that is the case, and they certainly want to appear to be doing that. So they have this wonderful little system set up where Congress tells the president how much he has to spend on all of these different programs, and that's the budget. President has to spend that.
Mm-hmm.
But then after the president, spends as much as he's allowed to spend because they have this debt ceiling, and he's like, well, I still have to spend more.
Yep.
And they're like, why were you so irresponsible with all this money?
Hey, COVID happened, man. We got to spend trillions of dollars more.
Because there was a flu.
Well, and a lot of times it's just a great time for Congress to be like, man, we are just so much more responsible than this president.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's all about posturing.
Yeah, it's all posturing. Yeah, it's complete nonsense, but it's a way that they can pretend to look good.
So in a letter that she wrote to the government goons, the Treasury Department, she said the Treasury Department would likely run out of cash and exhaust its, quote, extraordinary measures to keep the government, the federal government, within its legal borrowing limit at some point next month. Quote, once all available measures and cash on hand are fully exhausted, the United States of America would be unable to meet its obligations for what she says is the first time in our history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so far they've always borrowed enough to pay off all of their debts. And that's exactly what this is. They've already gotten the goods and services. Now the question is, are they going to be able to pay for them?
We'll continue with this here in moments, because in more recent news, again, this was a couple weeks ago, now they're saying there may be a government shutdown, so-called, on the horizon. Of course, we know what that means. It just means they close the parks and other quote-unquote non-essential services. And they leave the cops in place. There's more coming up here. You can share your thoughts. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. Yeah! Come on! This is Free Talk Live, and you're invited if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. If you want to get out of this whole government money trap, because that's exactly what it is, if you're using the U.S. dollar, you are being taken advantage of. They are going to continue printing that thing until it becomes worth less and less and less. That's the old, you know, system. That's the way they do things. That's the way Zimbabwe did it. That's the way the Weimar Republic did it. That's the way Venezuela is currently doing it. And there's no reason why the United States government can't do it as well. It's just they've got a lot more clout around the world to kind of, like we were talking about, kick the can down the road. And, you know, when they print out the trillions of dollars, it's inflating the money supply, but there's so much of it out there, it's like they still got to do a lot more inflating to really do serious hyperinflation level. But there's other interesting monetary things afoot, like the U.S. government perhaps defaulting on its national debt for the very first time ever. And what would that mean? Well, there's another story that addresses that, but we're going to get into all that, plus the potential for a government shutdown apparently may be starting as soon as Thursday at midnight, so just within a few days from now. It's Ian Peekless Mountaineer and Bonnie in the studio tonight, and if you want to get out of this trap, well, then I suggest that you look into alternatives, something that you can put your wealth into. Because money is just one representation of the wealth that you have earned and that you have at your disposal in life. It's just one of them. You know, wealth is a lot more than just dollars. Wealth is a lot more than just, you know, monetary value. Wealth includes the fact that we're sitting in a heated and or air-conditioned room right now. The fact that we have ice in the freezer. The fact that we have cars to drive. There's all these things that we take for granted that 100 years ago, people in our position didn't have. Not even the wealthiest people had, you know, some of the things that we have today. That some of the poorest people have now, wealthy people didn't have, you know, 100, 200 years ago. And so all of that is wealth. So dollars are just one example. So what you want to do, in my opinion, and again, I'm not a monetary, you know, investor expert or anything like that. It's just my opinion, is get your dollars and convert them into something else.
Like gold.
Gold's fine, although cryptocurrency has done a lot better than gold has in the last decade. Gold's kind of like, you know, still there. It's still a thing. It's still, you know, real. I'm
also a big fan of bullets.
I like gold. Yeah, and bullets are fine too. Bullets you can trade with pretty easily. They're valuable, valuable now than ever.
I mean, two things. Like, number one, crypto's definitely my favorite because it is the most useful as far as actually buying things.
Yes.
But as far as, like, saving for the future, I mean, two things about bullets is, number one, the laws get stricter and stricter and stricter about any kind of armament whatsoever. So you got to figure that the price on that is likely to go up.
It's already up quite a bit.
And number two, if something absolutely terrible should happen, like if the grid goes down completely, well, it'd be nice to be able to hunt for some food and to defend yourself once you've got some.
Exactly. So, you know, those are all good things to get into. They're things that can hold value and are, I would say, likely to go up in value as the U.S. dollar goes down in value, as they print more dollars out, which they are wont to do. They are guaranteed to continue doing that, especially as things get more difficult for them. Well, you've got an alternative.
And people tend to think, like, Bonnie, you were asking if the dollar had ever gone up, and in value, that is. And the thing is, dollars are supposed to go up in value. Because technology keeps progressing. So we keep getting more and more capable of getting more and more things with less and less human effort. And that's mostly, like, the biggest cost that you're running into is how much human effort did it take for this good or this service to come about?
Yeah, it may have taken a lot before, but now with machines and assembly lines and automation, it costs a lot less to make a lot of the things that might have cost a lot previously. And so, but that said, with the dollars being printed constantly, we still may see prices going up, even with all this increase in efficiency.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we certainly are. At least that's what I'm seeing anyway.
So let's get back into the story here from The Hill. Oh, I forgot to mention Bitcoin.com. You want to go learn about cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, get over to Bitcoin.com, click Get Started at the top of the page, and that's where you can get the basics on what makes cryptocurrency different and unique and exciting and special, and you really ought to take some time. You owe it to yourself to go and spend all of, what, 3 minutes maybe watching the first introductory video over there at Bitcoin.com. Just click Get Started at the top of the page. And also, you can go get the latest news headlines over at news.bitcoin.com. So we're talking about the U.S. federal government possibly defaulting on its national debt for the very first time ever. It's amazing that it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, when you were talking about it before, I felt like I had heard of it happening before.
It may have been something that they came close to in the past. I don't recall for sure. But
and then did they actually make their deadline or raise the ceiling?
They raised the ceiling, of course.
Well, the last time that I'm aware that we really came close and it wasn't just, puppet theater, really, mm-hmm. was when we had the Bretton Woods system. So we had gone off of gold for individuals, but we were still willing to say, hey, other countries, when you borrow money from us, you can get that back in this amount of gold. And then at one point, France realized, wait a second, there are more U.S. dollars running around my country right now than you have gold.
Hmm.
So they called in their debt, and the U.S. went, well,
we can't do this anymore.
Here's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. We'll pay you back, but it's going to be in dollars, not gold.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's no good.
Well, and that was that was in, gosh, 73, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and ever since then, there has been no gold standard whatsoever.
So the Janet Yellen, she's the Treasury Secretary, horribly ugly woman. She said that the U.S. will be defaulting on its national debt in October unless Congress raises the debt limit. She says they are exhausting their so-called extraordinary measures. Given this uncertainty, she said the Treasury Department is not able to provide a specific estimate of how long the extraordinary measures will last. However, based on our best and most recent information, the most likely outcome is that cash and extraordinary measures will be exhausted during the month of October. So they don't even really know when the deadline is going to be, but they know it's coming soon. The Treasury Department has taken so-called extraordinary measures to prevent the U.S. from defaulting on the national debt since their debt limit was reimposed on August 1st. If the Treasury Department runs out of ways to stave off a default without borrowing more money, the inability of the U.S. to pay its debts could send debilitating shockwaves through the financial system. She urged lawmakers for months to raise the debt limit before it was reimposed in August, warning that a delay could, quote, cause irreparable damage to the U.S. economy and global financial markets.
But nothing is changing. They're just changing their goalposts. So,
we've seen all of this before. Mm-hmm. We already had a government shutdown. The only people who were affected were government employees.
The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. She's suggesting this would be much bigger than just a government shutdown. And we'll talk about, what this all means. You can share your thoughts with us here on Free Talk Live.
Brute force, intransigent defiance, adamantine will. These are the hallmarks of the AI tank. These gigantic machines have the firepower of an army, but they also have their own sense of honor and duty. When the world breakers arrive, battle will be joined, planets will shake, and war and peace will never be the same again. World Breakers. Stories from David Weber, Larry Correa, and more. Available August 3rd from BaneBooks.com.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Pickles Mountain.
And Bonnie.
What does it mean when the U.S. federal government gang defaults on its national debt? Does that mean that its creditors get to take its assets. Like, you know, sometimes that's what happens with a personal debt that or business debt that you might get into. What exactly are the consequences?
China gets the White House.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, honestly, what I suspect they would probably do if they went all the way through an actual default on the national debt is that they would change the way the central bank works so that they no longer even had to borrow money in order to bring it into existence.
They could just straight up print it.
That's what I think they would do if they actually went all the way through a default.
Yeah, and why not? I mean, at this point, it was earlier in 2020 that they got rid of the fractional reserve limits, right, to where bankers don't even have to have anything in the vault to just issue new debt.
Right.
So why wouldn't the federal government ask for the same privilege?
Exactly.
So that's a possibility. If you want to weigh in here on what you think is going to happen, now odds are, you know, they're probably just going to raise the debt ceiling because they always do that stuff at the last minute and it's like, oh, we're saved. You know, all they're doing is just kicking the can down the road. Eventually,
when Congress gets to go, see, I saved you all.
Yeah. And some of them will retire and, you know, they'll be just fine and they're all going to be taken care of, whereas the rest of the people that are holding dollars are just going to get screwed, as they've always done.
Mm-hmm.
But let's continue here. So Janet Yellen told these government guys, she said, hey, we're going to run out of this money and you guys better raise the debt limit because in October at some point, the U.S. government will default on its debt. She's pleaded with them to give the Treasury the ability to pay debts already approved by previous presidents and congressional majorities. She said, waiting until the last minute to suspend or increase the debt limit can cause serious harm to business and consumer confidence, raise short-term borrowing costs for taxpayers, and negatively impact the credit rating of the United States. So apparently, even she says that, you know, this waiting to the last minute thing is not actually helpful for what they're trying to accomplish.
So what does it mean where she says she wants them to give the Treasury the ability to pay debts already approved by other presidents?
That may be what Peeklis was just talking about. It's not clear.
Well, it sounds like she's just saying, why do we have the stupid debt ceiling? Or, I mean, basically, I think it's just the same thing as always, where she goes, hey, let us raise it.
Yeah, and it did say it was
raise the debt ceiling to what we already agreed we were going to spend on this budget.
Well, and it mentioned earlier in the story that the debt ceiling was, quote, reimposed in August. So I presume that means they suspended it due to COVID. She says, at a time when American families, communities, and businesses are still suffering from the effects of the ongoing global pandemic, and of course, it's actually the ongoing global crackdown on freedom that's making people suffer. She says it would be particularly irresponsible to put the full faith and credit of the United States at risk. And basically, she wants the ability to have the government be completely irresponsible, as though it hasn't been, you know, almost totally irresponsible in the past. She wants all restrictions removed.
Just so basically we can maintain faith in the U.S. government, right?
Yeah. Well, because if it defaults on its debt, then maybe somebody will decide not to buy the Treasury notes in the future. Of course, why, as we pointed out earlier, why someone would buy these Treasury notes or Treasury bonds is bewildering to me.
Well, the only upside that I do see of those is if you are selling a financial package, you want to kind of say, okay, this package is this risky and not this risky. And the one thing about Treasury bonds is that they are zero risk. So,
Or are they?
Well, basically zero risk.
Historically.
They are historically zero risk.
But we're entering into an unusual territory now financially for this government.
That is a fact.
So Democrats and Republicans are locked in a stalemate over who bears responsibility for protecting said full faith and credit of the United States. White House and Democratic leaders are planning to tie a debt limit increase to another must-pass government funding bill, daring Republicans to trigger both a government shutdown and a default by opposing the measure. And that is where we are coming to, apparently, pretty imminently. They say that we expect Congress to act promptly to suspend the debt limit. So, yeah, they're not even saying raise it. They're saying put it back on suspension and protect the full faith and credit of the United States. It's interesting they use the term faith, isn't it? It really is a religion.
Oh, yeah.
The whole idea of the state, the belief in the state, very, very religious. Republicans have refused to raise the debt ceiling unless spending cuts and debt reduction programs are attached, which, why would they do that? I mean, the Democrats are in charge. Of course, even if the Republicans were in charge, there's never any slowdown on government spending under Republican administrations either. It's just that when they're not in charge, they get to act like they would do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
and they never do.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's one of those eternal trade-offs. There will either be a fiscally responsible Republican Party or an anti-war Democratic Party, depending on who doesn't have enough power.
Exactly. And even the Democratic Party wasn't really that anti-war during the Trump administration. They didn't have to. Well, Trump flipped the deck on him. He was the one actually advocating for withdrawing troops from Afghanistan, mm-hmm. and some of the Democrats were crowing about how, oh, my God, we can't do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Trump was a unique evil. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was Orange Hitler, so they didn't even have to pretend to be anti-war while he was in there. They just had to be anti-Trump.
MarketWatch.com has a follow-up story here. So that first one was from The Hill. This one was published earlier today. And headline, what happens if the U.S. defaults on its debt? Treasury's systems simply may not know how to handle a default. As Washington teeters closer to a possible government shutdown midnight Thursday, here's why the status of the nation's debt ceiling may ignite more worry in financial markets. September 30th marks the end of the federal government's fiscal year and the deadline for Congress to pass a funding measure. The debt ceiling, which is the amount of money lawmakers authorize the Treasury Department to borrow, must be suspended or raised by mid-October, or the United States will likely default on its debt. It's important to note that no one knows precisely when the Treasury will run out of money to pay its bills, including its bondholders, let alone what would happen next. U.S. sovereign debt generally has been considered the safest and most liquid to own in the world, and all kinds of financial markets, products, and processes have been pegged to the orderly functioning of the near $21 trillion Treasury marketplace. Still?
Well, and that's the thing. Like I was saying, when you package these things together, the way that you reduce the risk of the total package, because, you know, some of it's going to be stocks and bonds, mm-hmm. and you never really know if those are going to go up, even sure. if they're the really, you know,
the
big trustworthy, yeah. you know, too big to fail ones. And that was one of the big things about 2008 is all of a sudden the government did something it had never done before and didn't bail out one of the big ones. Mm. Like, that was what caused the scares. All of a sudden, they're like, wait, why aren't you bailing this out? We made all of these plans, and we built all of this stuff with the assumption that you would bail this out if it broke.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it's not doing what you expect it to do, and no one knew what to do. Like, no one knew how to take that information. So I think that's basically what would... Like, this... If it happens, I don't think it's going to. I think they're going
to default.
Yeah, I think they're either going to suspend the debt ceiling or at least raise it like they always do.
Sure.
And there's going to be a big grandstanding thing about it.
As always.
But if they actually defaulted for a long enough period of time, then it would upend the entire financial market. Because they
wouldn't that be glorious?
You know? Wouldn't be any skin off of my nose mm-hmm. because they're like, oh crap, now we have to change everything because we built these things with the assumption that this was the absolutely most stable thing you could do. That's why we took the hit on how much you earn from it.
So in theory, a default would mean, and we'll get into a little bit more about like what if, what does this mean? It would mean they wouldn't be able to pay back people holding treasury notes, right? Like, be like, yep, sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe later.
That's exactly it.
What would be like the first tier of people they wouldn't be able to pay back?
Anyone that holds debt with them. So the treasury holders, all these people that have had these investments, as Pekulis is pointing out.
And it might actually be a thing where they like, well, we'll pay you back first and we'll just not pay ourselves back until later.
We're going to continue here. If you want to weigh in, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Cryptocurrency, gold and silver. I got gold backs in my hand right now. These things are going to become, I think, very, very useful in short order. We're coming up. This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. We just checked there during the break. I went to the treasury.gov website looking at the treasury bill rates. They are 0.07. This is the big, big, big one. This is the big rate for 52 weeks. You hold their treasury bill for a year, and they say they will pay you 0.07%. Not even a whole tenth. Of 1%. but 0.07% after 52 weeks, unless, of course, they default on their debt, in which case maybe they won't pay you when they say they're going to pay you. And that's what we're looking at right now, is like, what actually would happen if and when, because maybe it really is more of a when rather than an if, the U.S. government defaults on debt. And that's what we're looking at here. If you want to comment, the number is 603-283-6160. I do want to say thanks to number six, who is a Free Talk Live Platinum amplifier. Number six, contributing at least $25 a month to the AMP program. Definitely appreciate that. It helps us out a lot, helps us advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live to help us get on new radio stations around the country. I think we got a couple of new ones on in Montana. I'll have to confirm that this week. And if so, I will let you know who and where they are. But it's thanks to listeners like number six for doing that over at amp.freetalklive.com. You can sign up with your debit card, credit card, or PayPal and help us get Free Talk Live out there into more ears. So definitely appreciate it. It's amp.freetalklive.com. You get some cool perks, get some benefits for doing that as well.
Thanks, number six.
Yeah.
I'm always wondering when I hear that amplifier's name, if it's from that movie Nine.
No, I believe it's from The Prisoner.
Yeah.
Which is an old television program. I've never seen it.
I am not a number. I am a human being.
I've heard so many good things about it, but I've never actually seen it.
Never seen it.
Libertarians rave about The Prisoner. So let's go on here. This is from MarketWatch.com with the possibility that the U.S. government could default on its debts coming up in October, which is 3 days away. At this point, now they don't know exactly when in October this could happen. But
well, I thought it said that October 1st is the beginning of the fiscal year.
Yes, but they still have to run out of money, right? So they have to they got to run dry, and they're doing what they're calling extraordinary measures to stretch out that time frame as much as they can.
Well, and there is a thing where like they themselves have borrowed a significant amount of their own debt. So they can stretch out a certain amount of it by just waiting to pay themselves.
Correct.
And that will only make the investors so uncertain.
I was going to say, maybe they just want to close down the national parks and stuff because there's lots of like UFO activities going on and a lot of that stuff happens at national parks. Like, you know,
I doubt that that's a motivating factor. I mean, aren't they coming out with more information about UFOs than they ever have?
Controlled information.
Sure. In a research note published September 22nd, Barclays analyst Joseph Abate noted there's an additional uncertainty over the debt ceiling now because it coincides with a funding package that Congress needs to pass. Maybe you've heard about this. It's a $3.5 trillion spending package. That's what's holding all of this up. That's what they're fighting over in Congress. And we could talk more about that, too, coming up here. What's more, changes brought by the pandemic have made it far more difficult to assess the state of the Treasury Department's expected payouts and inflows. Barclays' best guess for what's called the X date, or when the Treasury will run out of money to pay bills, is October 29th. But, he wrote, quote, the confidence interval around the X date is likely to remain fairly wide. Others have pegged that fateful day as October 20th, while Beacon's Colton thinks markets will start to get antsy in mid-October. The very idea of a U.S. default remains so incongruous that the reaction in financial markets isn't the only unknown. The current showdown in Washington has also raised big questions about the financial system's infrastructure. It's a bit like Y2K. No one knows how the computers will respond. Rob Toomey, SIFMA Managing Director, Capital Markets and General Counsel, says, quote, we don't believe, and the market does not believe, it's a likely scenario, but it would be a real problem scenario for the system generally, and operations and settlement specifically.
How do they know what the market believes? What are they talking about?
Well, people are continuing to trade as normal, I suspect is what he means. Like, people aren't freaking out quite yet.
Because they don't pay attention.
Well, because they believe that they're going to fix it at the very last minute, like they historically have always done. Oh, we'll just raise the debt limit, or in this case, you know, maybe eliminate it entirely.
Another question, what is the $3.5 trillion spending bill about? Is this the cryptocurrency prohibiting one?
I don't know. That might be in there, but I have a story from the Foundation for Economic Education that actually gets into that.
Oh.
The headline there is, the Senate has approved a spending plan five times the size of FDR's New Deal.
But I thought that they were doing extraordinary measures to save money.
Oh, no, no. They're not trying to save money. Oh. They're just trying to extend the deadline.
Right.
So the extraordinary measures.
The extraordinary measures are the Treasury Department's like, oh, S, we are going to run out of money by this date if we don't do something. So they're like stretching everything they possibly can, like you said.
Well, and what I think that guy was talking about with that, so they have all of these computer programs that are built for very specific margins. Like, I mean, sure, there's a certain amount of expected chaos in these markets, but it's only supposed to be this amount of chaos. Like, it can be between...
It can't be beyond this range.
Right. It can be between this amount of fluctuation and this amount of fluctuation.
And one of the things they would have programmed in there is, like, there's no chance the government will ever default on Treasury payments.
Exactly.
What happens if they do? The program isn't written for that.
Yeah. And if investors start acting in a very, very strange way, then these programs might also start acting in a very, very strange way.
And maybe make buys or sells that people weren't intending them to do.
Yeah. Mm. So if, for example, people started pulling their money out and putting it into precious metals and crypto in very, very large quantities, then that would make sudden major changes in the market.
Let's do it.
Good plan.
And there's kind of no telling what these programs would do at that point.
SIFMA is the Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association. It's the industry association that deals with the mechanics of how securities like sovereign bonds trade and settle. The group, sovereign bond would be a government-issued bond, right? The group has worked with financial infrastructure providers, including Fedwire and FICC, to try to devise some sort of playbook. For now, there are two possible scenarios. If the Treasury Department knows it will miss a payment, it would ideally announce that at least a day in advance. That would allow the maturity dates of the bonds in question to be changed. A Monday maturity date would be changed to Tuesday. A Tuesday maturity date would be changed to Wednesday, and so on. These revisions would happen day by day. While that sounds relatively orderly, it still leaves many unknowns. For one thing, it could bifurcate the market for Treasury bonds and bills into those that are clearing normally and those whose maturity dates are being massaged. SIFMA told MarketWatch. That means a great deal of uncertainty around pricing and what it all means for the downstream securities pegged to Treasury rates. In a second scenario, which SIFMA said would be very remote, Treasury cannot or does not give any advance warning of a failure to make a payment, and it just happens. That would be far more chaotic, a real problem scenario, it says. Strangely, the securities in question would probably simply disappear from the system. That's because if a bond is supposed to mature and be paid on a particular day, the system assumes that it has been. It just illustrates the fact that the system wasn't designed for this. And that would mean that all the people who were expecting to get paid who weren't paid will then be clamoring for their money.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, according to our system, you did get paid, sir.
And
well,
I'm sorry, just to make sure I'm following.
Yeah, sure.
The people who would be clamoring for their money are only people who bought these treasury notes?
Yeah, whatever sucker actually gave the government money to buy these treasury notes in the expectation that they would pay it off later on.
And well, that's it? Like, that's what China buys from us?
If they bought, if they're still buying them.
They certainly have bought a lot of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard that's gone downhill since. But, well, and here's the problem. Like, the sucker that bought these... is ordinary people.
Mm-hmm. That's like what I'm talking about.
Ordinary people, they put their money away into
these...
They
trusted the government.
Well, they put their money away into, like, mutual funds, which are, like, you know, spread out across a bunch of things, so they're supposed to be safe.
Right.
These people put their money away... Because if you put away, like, dollars, then that's just going to go down with the printing of the money. So
yes.
they try and put this away in things that are, you know, going to get you something back.
They have a historical return.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A historical return. So if this happens with those, I mean, goodbye everyone's pension.
Mm. Yep.
Goodbye everyone's retirement.
There's a real problem when you trust the government to take care of you and trust any sort of product that is built on government guarantees.
Oh, but Ian, we can't leave the federal government as New Hampshire because then we won't get our Medicare.
Yeah, right? The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Your thoughts on this situation? Are you a bondholder? Are you a little bit concerned that the federal government may not pay on its so-called obligations? And if they don't pay, what can you do about it? You're screwed. What are you going to do? Go down there and take the buildings, you know, back from them? Take a police car or something? It's Free Talk Live.
This message is for you if you are a polyamorous person or you're in an open relationship and you are struggling with jealousy, loneliness, and communication problems. Hello, my name is Jeremy West, and I am a polyamory coach with degrees in psychology and communications and 5 years of experience with polyamory. And for a limited time, I'm teaching a free online class just for polyamorous people or people in open relationships, where you will discover a new, simpler, and unique way to uncover the secret that experienced poly people know about jealousy that you must know too, stop feeling lonely when your partner is out with another partner, and use the 4 key elements that will change the way you communicate forever. No more crying yourself to sleep when you're alone for a night, a weekend, or longer, and wondering if it's better to go back to a monogamous relationship. Sound good? Well then, go to jeremywest.net/free class and register for my class now. Again, that's jeremywest.net/free class, jeremywest.net/free class.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the second hour of the program here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian, the Peakless Mountaineer, and Bonnie in the studio here tonight. We kick off the second hour. We will take your calls and your thoughts about whatever happens to be on your mind. What we've been focusing on tonight is this potential for the U.S. federal government to default on its debts for the very first time ever, and what exactly that would mean. According to MarketWatch.com, since it's never happened before, and most people who are in the financial industry who create financial products, as you were pointing out, Peakless Mountaineer, these guys that create these money market funds or whatever that people put money into, and there's, you know, safe invest, quote unquote, safe investments included in these investments. Those include these treasury bills, which historically have always paid out. Now, they don't pay out much these days, but there was a time when they paid out more than they do today. And so if the federal government doesn't actually pay out on these bills when they come due, which the deadline could be sometime in October, according to what we're reading here tonight, then that could mean all manner of financial havoc. Because, first of all, computer systems weren't built with this in mind.
Right.
They figured the government would always be good.
What computer systems exactly? Just the treasuries?
No.
Systems are like...
Well, the treasury system is also
there's all manner of automatic trading programs.
Right, so like NASDAQ?
Yeah, stock market people. Yeah,
these... My goodness.
Oh, yeah. And so that's going to be the wild thing where... If they manage to default on these things, so these computer programs will assume that they have been paid, so they will start spending money that isn't there.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And that is going to cause all kinds of havoc. And who knows, like, how much of that's going to get through and how much of it isn't going to get through.
Right.
So people will have been paid all over the place, money that wasn't there. And then when it goes to clear, which, because that's one of the complaints about cryptocurrency, it's like, oh, well, it took 5 whole minutes to spend it. And it's like, well, that's because that was the final clearing.
Yeah. Have you ever tried sending a check?
Yeah. And the final clearing of those kind of transactions can be weeks later. So that's...
Checks are so effed up. I mean, you can send a check to somebody. They deposit it in their account. Their account shows the increased balance, but it still hasn't even left your original account yet. And it takes literally days for all that to kind of get settled out.
Right.
And if it turns out that person didn't actually have the amount in their account, then the account that you deposited it into, they thought that the check had money in it, but it didn't. So then the money just disappears out of your account. You thought you had that money, so you already went and you tried to... I mean, it is just a... The current financial system is crazy.
And then they charge you for spending money that you didn't have.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? I gave you the money.
When I was living paycheck to paycheck, like doing Uber Eats, because I wasn't very like good at saving money and stuff, I was always getting $25 fees here and there because I went under because I didn't realize I should like take out my money yet because it looked like I had money. Like,
this is a very common story with bank account holders. You don't have to stand in a bank more than 30 minutes before somebody will come in there and you know, demand to know why these fees are on their account. Mm-hmm. Like, well, sir, you spent money you didn't have.
Yeah,
well,
I would just beg them to reverse it, and I don't think there was ever a time that they didn't.
Well, and that's the thing. So if this defaulting starts, that's going to happen thousands of times a day in what was like the most trustworthy financial movers and shakers in the world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's absolute chaos.
Yeah, and it's hard to predict what all of that's going to result in, because one thing failing is going to result in other things failing, mm-hmm. and that'll result in other things failing.
And that's the thing. Like, they can only clear so much, mm-hmm. and they have to work extra hard when things get flagged. So if these things get flagged thousands of times a day, it's going to take them even longer to clear these out. So what was going to take a few days is now going to take a couple of months.
Let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. Rob is on the line in Vermont. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Rob.
Good evening,
hey,
guys.
Rob. What's on your mind?
Hey, so, you know, there's no need of, you know, why the United States is in the position that it is in terms of, you know, being broke like this. I mean, in my eyes, and I think a lot of other people would agree with me, is that we could get out of this debt, you know, through the legalization of cannabis.
I don't think so.
Look what it's done for Colorado, Washington.
I guarantee you, if I pull up Colorado's state debt, they are not going to be out of debt.
Hmm.
Now, Peakless Mountaineer, you happen to know a lot about Colorado. You've spent some time there.
I don't know offhand what their intake to output ratio is on, like, I don't know if they're a net producer of taxes or a net consumer.
Well,
and that
I can
may
tell
also
you,
have changed at this point.
I can tell you one thing. They have debt. I'm pulling up their U.S. debt clock right now, according to a handy website, usdebtclock.org. It shows you the main debt clock for the U.S., you know, federal government first, but then you can click on state debt clocks and look at each state. This says there is currently over $73.6 billion in debt for the state of Colorado. Now, I believe that means it is Colorado's state debt, not like their share of the U.S. debt. So, yeah, the fact that they've had legal marijuana there now for most of a decade, wasn't it 2012, I believe, when they passed legalization of marijuana in Colorado? So, yeah, almost an entire decade at this point. And they certainly haven't paid off their debt, because when government gets more money, they just spend it. They, you know, even if there was enough money in the taxes on marijuana in Colorado to pay off the Colorado state debt, they would never.
We can have a bigger budget.
Yeah, they had plans for that money when they when they, you know, increased that or they put those taxes into place. And the same thing's true. First of all, I don't think that if you did legalize those things at the federal level that you would see enough revenue to do anything to $29 trillion
I don't know if
debt.
I'd support doing it that way either.
Sure. I mean, as libertarians, of course, we wouldn't support taxing cannabis. But the reality is that's exactly what the politicians would do if they legalized it. And that's what they've always done. So, yeah, $28.8 trillion is the current U.S. national debt. You know, you got to sell a lot of weed to put even a dent into that, Robert.
There's like a lot of different things they could be doing to make money if they actually cared. They don't care.
Okay, so how about this, though? If it's been legal in Colorado for 10 years, I mean, what's the gain and the loss been?
What do you mean by that, the gain and the loss?
Well, I mean, was there any gain in the last 10 years? Did they make any money?
Well, I mean, there's plenty of companies that have been making money in Colorado.
And the state itself did make a lot of money from the taxes that they got off of legalizing marijuana.
Didn't the taxes that they received actually go beyond relatively quickly the taxes they received from alcohol sales?
I believe that's accurate.
I think it was like within 2 or 3 years it exceeded.
And I will say that one of the things about Colorado doing this, so they had sort of a soft open on legalizing marijuana by legalizing it recreationally, but making it incredibly easy to get those medical cards. So they had sort of a, okay, with this many people buying this much, if we tax it this much, then it changes how many people buy it by this much. So they figured out exactly what the sweet spot was for getting the most out of their taxes with it before they did the full legalization, and then they were ready to put the exact number of tax on there that would be not enough to discourage people from getting it legally, but still give them the maximum amount of taxes.
Rob, thanks for the call tonight. I do appreciate hearing from you. There's no way out for the federal government. It doesn't matter what they tax, what they create, what they do, what they, you know, what's some new program they put into place. There's no way out of $28 trillion in debt, $29 trillion within moments.
That's what makes me just think they just don't care how much debt they're in. They just want to raise the ceiling.
I mean, it's a pump and dump scheme. Like, there's no way out of the pump and dump scheme once you've begun it.
That's right.
Like, you can't get out of a pyramid scheme. That's not how Ponzi schemes work. Like,
exactly.
It will collapse, and it's always been a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, and if they do raise the debt limit or get rid of the ceiling or whatever, they are still just delaying the inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
If it happens in October, that would be the best thing that could happen, rather than putting it off another year or 5 years or 3 years or whatever. We're coming up here, 603-283-6160. We'll continue. You can share your thoughts on Free Talk Live. Hey, it is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything here. The number is 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight, you've got Ian.
Nicholas Mountaineer.
And Bonnie.
And also, I want to make sure you know about Freedom's Phoenix. Great place to go to get every single day updates on the status of freedom around the planet. Science, technology, historical findings, liberty news, government overspending, and the rise of the police state. They cover all that and more over at freedomswithanSphoenix.com. That's freedomsphoenix.com. Don't forget that you can sign up for their daily digest and get it delivered right to your email address. It's freedomsphoenix.com. We're going to go back to your calls and thoughts. And we've been just kind of looking at this question of what happens when, because really it seems like more of a when rather than an if. Now, whether or not it's going to be in the month of October is really the big question. When the U.S. federal government defaults on its debt. What does that mean? Because it's never happened before. And what it sounds like it means is a cascading nightmare of financial calamity, because computer systems and automated trading programs that you were mentioning, Pecos Mountaineer, they weren't written with this in mind.
Nope.
People that wrote these programs that do this automated trading and investing, you know, that stuff was done with the idea that treasuries would be paid when they said they would be paid. And if they're not, all manner of financial hell could break loose, and we'll continue with that coming
well,
up.
Well, and this is why I still think that they're going to pay this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they might let a little bit of pain go through, but I mean, I think it'd be really hard to keep having a career if you were part of the reason that we had a global economic catastrophe over your political grandstanding.
Well, I don't think that you're going to see people get... It doesn't matter what these politicians do. I mean, they can do anything they want to with screwing the American people, and they keep getting reelected. I mean, I don't think this would make any difference either. They would just say, well, you know, I did what I could, and I voted against this, or whatever. You know, they...
I don't know, man. If the Republicans in Congress manage to cause a global economic catastrophe themselves, then there's a really good chance that a lot of people are going to vote Democrat next year.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts. Jesse is on the line in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Jesse. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, I just had a question about the vaccine mandate. There's any way out of that. My job just recently told me that I have to get fully vaccinated by November 15th, I believe it was.
Can I ask what industry this is? You don't have to say what the employer is, but what industry are you in?
I tend bar, I'm at a resort.
Okay.
So I'm wondering, is there any way I can get out of that? I've heard of, you know, people doing religious freedom or whatever. I'm not religious, but if that works, fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was curious about, the vaccine card. Is that in, like, a government registry? Or if I make myself up a little fake vaccine card, is that good enough?
Well, first of all, we're not attorneys, so we can't give you any legal advice here.
Of course, I understand.
But
yeah, that is high-risk behavior.
Yeah, I mean, I would say making up your own vaccine card is very, very high risk. I would not recommend going that direction. Mm-hmm. Government agencies take it real personal when you do things like use their names and or logos without their permission. So I would probably stay away from that one. But there are some doctors out there who are sane, and they, you know, they don't agree with what the mainstream is saying. So you may be able to get a doctor to issue you a medical exemption from the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And then you could tell your employer that you have a medical exemption. And if they demanded it, you could show it to them in that particular case, even though they shouldn't be demanding, you know, your personal medical information like that. But that's the world we live in now. So there is that as an option. Now, I don't know what that means legally, though. I don't know if an employer has any legal requirement to continue your employment. Like, if this employer is totally on board with the vaccine and that's what they want, that's, you know, they're a resort, so they want their customers to feel, because it's all about how they feel. This isn't anything about, like, actually keeping people safe or anything like that. We know that people with the vaccine can actually still get COVID and still spread COVID. So, you know, regardless of all the facts, you know, that might be true or false or whatever out there about this situation, there's what they want their customers to believe. And if what they want their customers to believe is that all of their employees have the vaccine, then it won't matter what medical exemption and or religious exemption you have. They won't carve it out for you. And I don't know if they have any obligation to, and that's where, you know, my answer of I'm not a lawyer and I can't give you legal advice.
Now, my question to you is, how do you feel about your employer requiring that you put something poisonous inside you? Because if my employer required me to put something poisonous in me, I might look for a new employer.
Well, yeah, I mean, so I've already had a frank discussion with my management team, and they're losing all their staff. I mean, they already have a hard enough time keeping people employed. It's interesting times right now.
Well, what do they say to you when you have these discussions?
Well, you know, they basically asked me, are you going to be here after the 15th? And I said, probably not. You know, I don't, it's more on principle than anything to me, you know. Nobody tells me what's in my body, you know what I mean? It's just not right. It's fundamentally wrong.
Well,
so
no,
that's
it's insane. I mean, this is experimental. Like, whatever else you might think about this, like, that is a fact. This is experimental. Now, I think it's poison, but I know for a fact it's experimental.
Mm-hmm. If that's your fundamental belief, too, it sounds like you have grounds for a religious exemption.
Yeah.
Again, that's if the company would accept something like that. And if they would accept it, then what are they going to require you to go through? I know that our co-host, Nikki, who's a nurse, she said something like, okay, yeah, if she gets a religious exemption, then they're going to make her wear an N95 mask at all times. She won't be allowed to eat lunch with any of her co-workers. They're going to do everything they can to make life as an employee with them as difficult as possible. And it's like, you know, I can tell you one thing's true. You go downtown Keene, New Hampshire, and I know you're calling from New Hampshire, Jesse. You throw a rock, you're going to hit 15 businesses that have now hiring signs up. I suspect some of them are bars.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know if you're working at a resort, you're probably making good tips because the prices are high. So I'm sure that's probably a really nice bartending job and you don't want to lose it. But, you know, I think you should just let the chips fall where they may and see what these people say. If you can get a medical exemption and they don't stick one of these swabs up your nose every 2 days to require that you have a constant, you know, check clean on testing.
On that note, I find it very interesting that that is not an option with this company. There's just no option for that.
Yeah.
You get vaccinated or you don't work for us.
Okay. Mm. Well, say goodbye then.
Yeah, I expect that with a resort, they probably have more than 100 employees. Just look for a bar that doesn't have 100 employees. They're probably not requiring this, and they probably need workers.
The best suggestion I've heard, though, is make them fire you. Don't.
Absolutely.
Well, after they fire you.
Yeah, don't put in a resignation.
I already told my boss that. I said, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to quit on this. You know, you're going to have to fire me.
Yeah.
You know,
good.
At
Show
least
up
just
to work.
Go out, you know, just to. It'll fit better with me, you know.
Well, and you are a hot commodity because you're a person willing to work right now.
Yeah,
like, there is a shortage of workers everywhere.
Time. Thank you, Jesse, for your call tonight, man. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. Keep showing up to work. Presume you're still, you know, scheduled until they tell you to go home. And you know what? If it were me, I'd pull up a video camera and get it on video and turn it into make it go viral. You know? Get everything you can, every last drop out of this you possibly can. We got more coming up. Thank you, Jesse, for the call. This is Free Talk Live.
When a lunar observatory detects a radio broadcast originating from Proxima Centauri, the nations of Earth discover their first contact with an alien race may also be their last. With the Proximans facing an extinction-level disaster, Earth must choose between sending a ship on a multi-year journey or allowing nature to take its course. Saving Proxima, a hard science fiction thriller by Travis S. Taylor and Les Johnson. From BaneBooks.com.
Yeah. Yep, it is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want here. Just dial in the number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is also brought to you by Intercoin. We talk a lot about cryptocurrency here on Free Talk Live, and Intercoin is trying to do something a little bit different. You can go to intercoin.org to learn about them. They help businesses or organizations launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. So if there's a token you want to launch or an app that you want to build for your community, you can go to intercoin.org, enter your email, and the team will get in touch and learn about your needs. And while you're there at intercoin.org, you can get some of the Intercoin investor tokens for yourself over at intercoin.org. It's Ian Pikless Mountaineer and Bonnie in the studio here tonight. We've been talking about the potential for a default on the national debt and exactly what that would mean, because it has never happened before. And according to MSN.com, Treasury officials face an unusually difficult task this fall in projecting precisely when the federal government will no longer be able to pay its bills. Now, that's how bad they are at handling money. They're like, well, we don't really know. COVID is the reason. We don't have any idea how quickly we're spending people's money.
There was a flu.
Yep, there was a flu.
And the other flu disappeared.
We can't pay our bills when there's a virus in existence.
And as they point out here, it could trigger a default and plunge America into an economic recession. Hey, I got news for you. We may already be in an economic recession.
Yup.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are definitely in an economic recession. Now, they work very hard to obscure that fact.
That's right.
Like, very hard.
Well, we were just talking the other day about how Federal Reserve officials were under some scrutiny recently. Not because they're scamming people by printing a ton of money. No, the mainstream media doesn't care about that. That's normal. But they were caught buying investments and holding, rather, investments that the Federal Reserve itself was buying and to shore up those marketplaces during COVID. So they were, like, you know, buying stocks and buying, you know, all these different bonds or whatever. And, like, you're not supposed to be doing that. You're not supposed to hold the very same investments that the Federal Reserve, which has an unlimited amount of money, can then use to buy things in those same marketplaces. So that's what they were caught
doing. Insider trading.
Basically, yeah. Although it was, according to their rules, it was completely legal for them to do that. Although that said, the Boston Fed president has apparently now resigned, just, you know, by coincidence. Maybe he doesn't want to go down with the ship. But according to MSN.com, traditionally, Treasury staff rely on historical trends of government spending and economic activity to estimate the cash balance of the federal government. But that task is significantly more complicated this year. The United States and world economies remain in an unusual state of flux because of the pandemic, leading to unpredictable fluctuations in monthly tax receipts. And the U.S. is currently administering dozens of new COVID-related economic programs that have no precedent, making the amount of cash they will spend hard to model. The uncertainty in the Treasury's projections over when the government will default, a deadline known by budget experts as the so-called X date, exacerbates the danger of the ongoing congressional brinkmanship over the nation's fiscal soundness. Congressional Republicans are refusing to help Democrats raise or suspend the debt ceiling to authorize the amount of borrowing required by laws already passed by both parties. Treasury has deployed a series of emergency measures, as we discussed earlier, to allow it to meet its current obligations, such as delaying certain payments until the matter is resolved. In Peakless Mountain, you pointed out they're probably delaying payments to themselves after they loan themselves money. But it is rapidly running out of these options amid this legislative standoff. One senior Treasury official who spoke on the condition of anonymity described internal matters as, quote, "It's always very hard to predict the cash flow of the government, but it's important to understand that it is particularly hard to do projections now." Some lawmakers have said
now, as in during COVID.
Oh. Yeah. Some lawmakers have said the Treasury Department is bluffing, essentially trying to scaremonger Congress. Senator Patrick Toomey from Pennsylvania said the Treasury would prioritize payments on its debt even if the debt ceiling isn't increased, so that it wouldn't technically default if Congress doesn't act. In the past, Treasury officials have looked at whether they could prioritize these payments and delay other payments as a way to manage its cash flow in a crisis-type situation. But even steps like those aren't expected to calm investors. The closer Treasury comes to the X date, the more investors will dump short-term Treasury debt, a move that could lead to panic on Wall Street and in Washington. Now, Peakless, you're big into investments and such. What does that mean, dumping short-term Treasury debt? They right. hold it, so they want to sell it off to some other sucker?
Right. So so your Treasury bonds come in different different sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So
different weeks, right?
Yeah, exactly. Weeks. So you can have like a 52-week one or—
paying all of 0.07%.
Right, right. Or you can have, so yeah, you can have one that pays off in a year. You can have one that pays off in 5 years, and they'll give you a different rate for those different ones.
Right.
And all of the short term ones. So that's the thing. Like, if they stop paying these, then your long term bets are more likely to get paid off than your short term ones, which is a very strange situation. So they will be more worried about their short term ones getting paid. Because otherwise you're just—
because those are due now, yeah. And they figure, well, eventually they'll get this figured out.
Because otherwise you are stuck holding the bag.
Mm-hmm.
You are still loaning them money, but they're not paying any interest on the fact that you are loaning it. Right. Because you said, I'll do this for a year. And they said, well, you're going to do it for more than a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, no, no. Our deal was for this number of weeks.
But you can't hold anything over their head.
If you add an additional week on here, then you were supposed to pay me. And they go, no.
Well, maybe they will, you know, if they can print more money out, right? Like if the debt ceiling gets raised or eliminated entirely, then what's holding them back? And what would hold them back anyway from just printing more money and satisfying these debts?
Well, and so one of the things that might very well happen is that the money that they owe their employees might suddenly go to their treasury bonds instead of to the employees that they owe money for, you know, working for the government.
Oh.
So that's one of the things that they can shift around a little bit. Or
how many more weeks will they keep coming in if they're not getting paid?
Indeed. Or they might have to pull it from like a welfare program or from this or from that. And either way, you're going to get a lot of upset people because—
unless they do what you hinted at earlier, which is to, let's say, cross the Rubicon, so to speak, and make it so they can just turn on the printing press as well. Because right now there's this system where in order to fund itself, the government sells these bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And if you and I or China or whoever goes ahead and buys the bonds, well, fine and dandy. They've got the money coming in. The bonds have been sold. But if China's like, no, it looks like you guys are going to default. No, we're not going to buy the bonds. And if the average individual says, no, that's okay, we'll just go ahead and invest in this cryptocurrency over here or gold or something like that, and they don't buy the bonds, then the Federal Reserve comes in, right? They're the buyer of last resort. Mm-hmm. That's one of their main functions is to buy up any treasury bonds that the government needs to offer in order to fund the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
So what stops them? So I guess what you were saying is they want to get rid of, ultimately, the true like maximum inflationist spender types. They want to get rid of any kind of limit on this to where then—
And you still have a problem there, because if these other investors watch them do this, they are going to be even more inclined to not have this debt because, oh, you're cheating. Well, I don't want to hold on
to
it.
So they dump them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then you end up with a—
but who would buy it?
Right. And then you end up with a nightmare scenario where they are, because you have to lower the price then, because no one wants these things.
Right, right. So you would take...
Right, so you end up selling these treasury bonds, for less than you put in the first place.
Yeah, so if you had $1,000 worth, you would sell them for $700 or something, whatever you could get for them, right?
And that just crashes the entire system.
More coming up here in moments. The number is 603-283-6160. If you want to join us looking at the potential effects of what is likely to come, this is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You're invited. If you want to join us here, you can take control of the airwaves. You can bring up whatever you want. We've been focusing on the potential disaster financially that is looming. The question really is only when, not, I don't think, likely if this thing is going to strike. But what's it going to mean if the U.S. government defaults, or when the government defaults on its debt for the very first time? How soon will it happen? Well, they're saying it could be as soon as next month sometime, with a so-called X date. And we've been explaining what that is exactly and what these consequences might be. With you tonight, it's Ian.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Bonnie.
And, of course, you can bring up whatever you want. We're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. Pennsylvania is where Sydney is on the line. Hello, Sydney. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
I want to talk about Julian Assange. Okay. Yahoo News just came out with a report. The CIA plotted to kidnap, render, assassinate, otherwise disrupt Julian Assange, the people that work with him. Other people that were considered as targets were Glenn Greenwald.
Wow.
Yep. So my question is news.
Yeah, I've heard about this. Yeah, it was in my show prep.
Yeah, my question is the crime of conspiracy to commit murder. It's a crime in the U.S. Code of Laws. Mm-hmm. I'm reading at Cornell Law School online. It says 18 U.S. Code Section 1117. The crime to commit murder, you know, if you get together with other people and you conspire to commit murder and you do any overt act to further that plot, you may be considered guilty of murder,
but there's a carve out.
There's also a crime against kidnapping people, but the police do that every day.
Yeah, see, there's a carve out to the crime of murder, and that is if it's a legal process of taking someone's life, like dropping a bomb on some innocent people in Afghanistan. Or, you know, possibly kidnapping Julian Assange and torturing him.
Yeah, the CIA has a license to kill.
Then it is a legal taking of life and is not defined as murder by the government.
Right, license to kill. So Julian Assange, he's not a U.S. citizen. He's an Australian. Mm-hmm. He's been in the U.K. He was in the Ecuadorian embassy. Is he subject to U.S. law? Right now, Julian Assange is in prison in the U.K. for jumping bail for another crime that he committed in Europe, supposedly.
Actually, no, that's over. That was what he was originally imprisoned for, and those charges were dropped. He actually served his time to the UK government for skipping that bail. So he was supposed to be in jail for like a year, and so he served that time. So he's actually being held in the UK on potential extradition to the United States, which was initially denied by a UK judge earlier this year. I believe it was January of this year. The UK judge in that case denied the extradition. However, the US government is appealing the denial, and so therefore he is still sitting in a cage awaiting the appeal. That's the last I heard, and that was a few weeks ago when I checked on it.
But yeah,
he was supposed to sit in a cage for a year, 52 weeks, and he's done that sentence. Was dragged out of the Ecuadorian embassy against his will, obviously. Yep. The administration's changed in Ecuador. They were trying to get him out of that embassy. There's allegations in the Yahoo News report that there were Russian agents trying to give him diplomatic immunity, trying to get him out to Russia, get him to an embassy in Russia for Ecuador, and eventually make it back either to Ecuador or some other country. It's the same situation with Edward Snowden, where you get caught in transit. They want the CIA in the report. They want to capture him somewhere in transit, or they want to get him before he can get to safety.
Well, as you were pointing out, it's not quite the same situation as with Edward Snowden, because Edward Snowden was an American. Like, Edward Snowden was born in America, and I mean, not by logic or philosophy, but by legal tradition, that makes him subject to America's rules. And it's absolutely not the case in Assange's case, because he wasn't born in America.
He's never been here.
Naturalized.
Right.
So it's absolutely insane. And last I heard, America's trying to charge him with treason.
Mm.
And the very idea that you can have treason against a country that you aren't part of is just insane.
Yeah, correct. And so my point here is that Mike Pompeo, he's CIA director, eventually State Department. Is he guilty of this crime because he is a U.S. citizen? Is he guilty of the conspiracy to commit murder?
I wish.
At the CIA guilty of it? Yeah. Eventually, they didn't go forward with it. But, WikiLeaks has on their Twitter feed right now footage of alleged CIA agents. They're conspiring in person. I don't know what citizenship those people are, but if there's any evidence whatsoever that these people actually went forward with this conspiracy, would they ever be held to account for it? I would say no. And I'm not going to be naive and say, okay, yeah, they'll be held.
In a just world, they certainly would, but this is not that world.
Well,
and they are the CIA.
It's a lot like qualified immunity.
Mm-hmm.
If it were just, then yes. But I'm certain that even if Pompeo was brought before a court, they would let him go.
Yeah.
The United States government. Go ahead.
My last point would just be that Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, show me something that they published that's not truthful. Mm. I first got aware of them when they published footage basically of murder that U.S. citizens did in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Where they murdered two Reuters journalists and other people, including children, just recently in Afghanistan. Joe Biden signed off on that attack. You don't know the people that you're killing, and you're going forward, and you're killing them gleefully. And it's not necessary. This needs to stop, and people need to be held accountable. Yep.
Well, in the case of Julian Assange, the truth has not set him free, sadly, and nor did it set free Daniel Hale, who was the most recent victim of the whistleblower targeting state. He blew the whistle on military droning, and he was sentenced to 45 months in prison as a result of doing that. So they go on to continually punish these people that tell us the truth about what this government gang is continually doing to kill innocent people all around the planet and torture and murder, and it just continues. They expect us to pay for this.
Well, and you say these people need to be brought to account, but here's the thing. There is a monopoly on courts. Mm-hmm. And just like every other thing, if you have a monopoly, then you get a terrible product.
Yep.
Yeah, the United States government's not going to go after the goons that they hired to do a job for doing the job that they hired them to do, or else nobody else would ever work for them being their goons.
Yeah, the goons love the protection. I mean, they know. In fact, wasn't it the Manchester Police Department that actually advertised qualified immunity was in the in the actual job description of, hey, there's one of your benefits is you're not held responsible for any heads that you crack.
It was the only benefit they listed in this ad. They just said, including qualified immunity.
Yeah. Sydney, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. And, they expect people are just going to keep on going along with it and keep on paying for all this. No, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's just one story after the next. Corruption after the next corruption. Violence after the next violence. Murder after the next murder. I mean, how much of this do people are they going to take? How much will you take before you finally say, you know what, enough. I'm not going to pay for this anymore. I'm not going to voluntarily obey these people anymore. We're going to secede. We're going to say goodbye, federal government. We don't want anything else to do with you. I mean, if it's not time now, when will it be time? How many more innocent lives must be terminated? How much more corruption can you handle? Because it's not like they're going to all of a sudden shape up. It doesn't matter who you elect. It doesn't matter if it's the Republicans or the Democrats, as we talked about earlier.
Well, and we all get raised with a myth this myth that they are accountable to us.
Yeah.
They have never been accountable to us.
Nope.
They never will be accountable to us. I mean, you can statistically prove that what we want does not matter. There is a 30% chance of a given policy going through, whether it is universally hated or universally loved.
And right now, to come back to this money topic that we've been talking about, because that's what enables all of this, the unendingly printed federal dollar, because if they actually had gold behind the dollar, they would have had to have stopped the warmongering a long time ago. So they would have had to actually tax people to fund war. But the fact that they can print endlessly means they can endlessly bomb and they can endlessly murder.
And those are the two solutions, like you mentioned. So number one, the long-term solution is we have to break up.
Yes.
We have to secede. We have to be small, independent things that can make alliances with each other, but not be beholden to a big centralized thing. And the other, the thing that each individual can do today, is start using cryptocurrency.
Yep.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever it is that you do, accept crypto for it.
Yeah, and that's an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a little bit of research, a little bit of a learning curve, but it doesn't take that long to learn the basics and start experimenting with it. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Hour 3 is on the way. More about crossing the financial Rubicon in the X Day coming up.
After a devastating war, the alien visitors were driven back, and their willing human collaborators were left behind to face the music. When Imogene Anderson's ex-lover springs her from prison, Nathan Foster and his 14-year-old nephew Ben are tasked with bringing the pair to justice. An easy enough job until they discover something is inside Imogene, and the fate of the planet hangs in the balance. The Family Business by Mike Cooperi from BaneBooks.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the third hour of the program here. The number 603-283-6160, talking about the financial calamity that seems to be inevitable. Whether it's going to happen starting in October on the so-called X date, which is the date when the U.S. government's Treasury Department will run out of money and they will no longer be able to pay off the national debt. Not that they've ever paid off the national debt. It keeps getting bigger, but they won't be able to pay the people who are expecting to get paid because they're holding on these treasury bonds, which said that they would mature on a certain date. And there's a chance that come next month, if the Congress cannot come to an agreement on whether or not to raise the debt ceiling or to eliminate the debt ceiling, then this is going to happen. And the question is, what's that going to mean? With you tonight, it's Ian.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And Bonnie.
We'll continue looking at that. Also, we'll take your calls about whatever is on your mind. Let's go to those phone calls here. We got Dave Ridley on the line in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Dave.
Have you guys heard of Granite Phone?
Yes.
What is it?
So apparently, this is a Liberty activist in New Hampshire was posting on Telegram that he has designed, he calls it, quote, an Android phone optimized for privacy and security. These phones don't ship with the malicious software that, I guess, tracks you or whatever. I don't remember. I don't have the rest of the quote in front of me.
Well, your phone is obviously still trackable because the phone company has to know where you are at all times in order to be able to provide you service. So I wouldn't buy a phone based on thinking it would be completely untrackable. But I think what the person who's selling the Granite phone means, and again, I don't have the exact pitch either, but I think that what he means is the usual Google spyware isn't on the phone. That doesn't mean you can't be tracked, though.
Yes, that's why I see the rest of the quote now. It says, without the malicious software that cellular providers include on phones they sell, nor the mandatory malicious software that Google requires when phone companies license Android, unquote.
Yeah. That sounds pretty cool. I've heard about this.
Now, I'm not saying I can vouch for this or that I know that much about it. I'm just saying someone's claimed to have made it. And I guess their website is granitephone.me, and phone is spelled with, you know, like an F-O-N-E, so cool. Granitephone.me has more details for what that's worth.
Yeah, that is very cool. We actually happen to know who the person is behind that, so I think it's great.
He also has on the website instructions for how to make your own phone like that. So
you don't even have to buy it from him.
Yeah, if you don't want to do the work, you can buy it from him, but he also has instructions like how to.
He's open sourced it, so to speak. Nice. That's the way to do it.
So it's nice to have, you know, we already had Library, which is sort of New Hampshire's alternative to YouTube. Then, of course, after they created Library, the federal government came after them and wants to shake them down for $2 million. So that might happen to Granite Phone, and that's yet another reason why we need to be independent.
No doubt about it. Although I want to clarify what you said about Library. We have been on Library. It's, by the way, spelled LBRY for years here on Free Talk Live, and they launched Odyssey, which listeners can go to video.freetalklive.com to find our Odyssey channel there, and you can follow us or subscribe to our channel. But it's not just like, you know, you kind of made it sound like it's this New Hampshire thing. It's not New Hampshire specific. It was created, the creator of it lives in New Hampshire, but Odyssey has become like a worldwide phenomenon with millions of users and I think over a million channels, creators, if you will, that a lot of whom have migrated from the YouTube platform over to Odyssey. So this is a serious competitor to YouTube. And as I saw them post the other day on social media, pointing out that YouTube is for serfs and Odyssey is for owners, because with YouTube, you don't own your content.
You're a renter.
Yeah, you don't own your channel. They do. And if they want to take it from you, and they want to shut it down, or they want to restrict it in some way, they will do that, as we've seen they do. But Odyssey, Library specifically, cannot take your content from you. There is no means for them to do that. It is completely decentralized media sharing protocol, and it's uncensorable, and it's awesome. It's amazing. Listeners and viewers should check it out.
The best thing about Odyssey or Library, whichever, is that they will pay you to transfer your YouTube channel over to them.
Yeah, that's true.
What's cool about Granite Phone, I mean, the thing about New Hampshire that's cool is that even before Granite Phone, there was already a product like that at ThinkPenguin. It's cool that now we have two options. Yeah, it's awesome.
We've got competing privacy phones here in New Hampshire, which is pretty cool. So, as you pointed out, though, Dave, it's time to say goodbye to the federal government, and having tools like this helps us because it helps us get the word out about what's happening here because, you know, platforms like Odyssey and phone companies like Google or operating systems like Google and Apple, they are taking posts like this down. They're taking information down. They're taking products like Odyssey, for instance, and Telegram and some of these things that we've used to communicate here in New Hampshire. They've had a very difficult time getting through the approval process from Apple Computer. In fact,
And it's no wonder because they're a direct competition.
Yeah, in fact, what Jeremy Kaufman, who's the founder of Library and Odyssey, said on an interview I heard him do, I think it was with Joel Valenzuela on, Digital Cash Now, or I forget the exact name of his show, but it is a great little crypto show. And Jeremy had said that in order to get the Odyssey app approved for iPhone, Apple made them, now they want to be there, right? So like they had to do this. They made them remove certain search terms relating to COVID-19.
Hmm.
So if you have the iPhone app for Odyssey,
I do.
You are not allowed to search for certain search terms on that app regarding COVID-19.
Like just nothing will result?
Nothing will come up, I presume. And he said he didn't want to do that, but in order to be on the Apple Store, they made them do it. Now, it doesn't apply to the website. You can go to Odyssey, you know, the Odyssey website, go to video.freetalklive.com. It'll take you right there. You can search for those terms there. There's no censoring going on there. And it doesn't affect Google at this time. It only affects the Apple iPhone version of it. So I thought that was interesting. And that's the same kind of crap that Telegram's had to deal with, too.
Can't imagine why we would need a free and open discussion about a relatively new disease.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Dave. Any updates from the NHExit movement that you've been hearing about?
Well, the most recent numbers on unionleader.com were September 18th, and they showed 71% support for the right to vote on independence.
71% in a unscientific newspaper poll, which nonetheless is interesting. sort of a quick temperature take. Wasn't there a town hall meeting this weekend? How did that go? Were you attending that?
Yeah, that's the second one. It hasn't been. I've been trying mostly to just invite the opposition, right? You know, so I'm calling talk radio about it in New Hampshire, and I'm, you know, posting on neutral and hostile, you know, Facebook groups and stuff like that, and just trying to get people who would be against it to come to these meetings. And I'm not getting much. I'm not getting any results from people who are against it. You know, we only had 3 people on the last one, and everyone was in favor of it. So I guess I'll just start spreading the word among liberty people. Since I've now maxed out on all the, you know, neutral and hostile places that I could invite.
So none of the opposition showed up to this town hall meeting, is what you're saying?
However, we did have opposition that we invited to one of the work sessions, and he did show up and gave us a presentation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess we may not have, maybe it's just too hard to sustain 2 different sets of meetings every week. But I'll continue trying to get people at this town hall meeting for a while, and if it continues not growing, then I will stop doing it eventually.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're in opposition to the idea of state independence from the United States, the best thing you can do is to ignore the independence people, and then the hope that we go away. But the reality, of course, is this seems to be fairly popular. I was out at a protest with Bonnie last weekend, and this was a right-wing-leaning protest that we went to. There were some libertarians there, too. And almost everybody supported New Hampshire independence. Of the handful of people that didn't necessarily support it, they were sort of on the fence. They were maybe...
Yeah, nobody said no.
No one said no. We need to stay in the union. The people that were like, I don't know, I got to do some more research. And I think it's going pretty well considering how early on it is. Thank you, Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com. We continue here with more of your calls and thoughts coming up on Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You can bring us, bring up what you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. With you in the studio, it's Ian.
Nicholas Mountaineer.
And Bonnie.
And don't forget to join us online over at freetalklive.com. We have features there that you can enjoy. Although right now, downloading archives is screwed up, so apologies to anybody who's not subscribed to our podcast. If you're subscribed to the Free Talk Live podcast, then you're getting episodes as normal every night. When they're released, they come into your downloading device, whatever that be, your phone or your laptop or whatever your podcast client is running on. But if you were somebody who's been clicking on every day manually to click and download, that's broken right now for some reason, and it was brought to my attention just an hour or so before the show started here tonight, so I don't know when that's going to be fixed. I have no idea. We're working on it, trying to figure that out. So the meanwhile, you may want to go to our SoundCloud page to download directly from there, or better yet, go to feeds.freetalklive.com and subscribe to our podcast, and then our MP3 archives will be delivered directly to you as soon as they're released. So that's the easiest way to get the latest episodes of Free Talk Live. You don't even have to think about it. You just open up your podcast client. If you're subscribed to Free Talk Live, there they are. The latest episodes are there for you. So check it out. Feeds.freetalklive.com. To your phone calls and thoughts, Joe is on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, you know, a black hole has an event horizon where, you know, once you reach that point, there's nothing you can do. You're toast.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at with the economy. There's absolutely the time to fix this was back when the national debt was in the billions.
Right.
You know, back in the 80s, maybe. I haven't looked it up.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's done, man. It's, you know, and I wish they just default on it. Get it over with. It's going to collapse. Do it now or do it later or slowly, you know, kind of, you know, slide into a dystopian, you know, Orwellian hellscape, but it's done. There's nothing. These idiots in D.C. are leaders. Most of them.
They're not leaders, man. These people. You'd be insane to follow these people anywhere.
Well, look at the average age of these people. Most of these people know they'll be well into retirement or dead before the worst of the worst happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the amount of spending they're doing, especially that $3.5 trillion bill they're getting ready to pass, man, people don't know what's in there. They want your bank to report, you know, any transaction over $600 to the IRS.
Yeah.
You know, when does $600 become taxing the rich? You know?
That
and
was
not
the
just
old,
that, when has it ever become their business? Like
it's
that.
Not there. It's a violation of the Fourth Amendment, but they don't care about the Constitution.
No, they never have.
You know? It's about control, you know, and there's nothing they can do. They can spend all they want. They can borrow all they want. The economy's done, man. People just haven't realized it yet.
Yeah, really, the question is, when will people realize it? Because once they realize it, once people realize what inflation is and how terrible it is, then they start to behave like inflation is happening. And right now, I still don't know how many Americans are changing their behavior because of any of this crap.
I think there's a lot of people in this country who would it would take them literally eating out of a dumpster before they wise up to realize that they've been sold.
If people see like the price of milk doubling one week after another, that might be enough to wake them up. But anything short of that level of
milk is subsidized.
Inflation's at a 13-year high right now. The problem is it hasn't happened fast. It's been kind of slowly happening
right
over the past year.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of comes up to something that I mentioned briefly, and Peekless, you'd mentioned it earlier, this idea of what these people really want, what these politicians really want is to drop any pretense of the Federal Reserve having to buy bonds and just make it so they can just hit the print button and they don't have to like go through this little dance where they have to issue bonds and then try to sell them to normal people and then try to sell them to other governments and then let the Federal Reserve buy them. No, they just want to print them straight up, print money, and they don't have that ability yet, but they could. Right? Wouldn't it just be an act of Congress?
Yes, it would.
To make that happen?
That's all it would take.
So, you want to talk about crossing the financial Rubicon. I agree with you, Joe. There's no turning back from $28 trillion in debt. So, you could argue the Rubicon was crossed, as you say, back in the 80s or whatever.
Well, it's a modern-day caste system is what it is. You're going to have the mega wealthy and everybody else.
Oh, no, you're going to have the vaccinated and the unvaccinated.
Well, that too.
Those are going to be
that was a test. That's a test of their power.
Well, that's going to be the three classes now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. There's going to be the wealthy.
Yep.
There's going to be the vaccinated, and there's going to be the people they're hunting down.
Yeah, that's a good point. The wealthy, as we saw the Met Gala photos, they don't have to wear masks. They're all about pushing the pimp and the vaccine, but they're not wearing masks when they're having their little parties.
Yeah, just the help is.
But the help sure is. Yeah, all the servants, all the waiters, and the person checking your coats and all that. Joe, good call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. Definitely, I think we're in line with and thanks for the call. The number here is 603-283-6160.
And he asked, why do they do this? Why don't they just bite the bullet? Because this thing's already collapsed. And, well, there are a couple of real good reasons. Number one, the ones in power don't want to take the blame for what they've done.
They want to kick the can.
Number two, the ones who are getting into power want more power.
Sure. Yeah, these people are not responsible individuals. They're not. I mean, that's why they're there. Because they're not financially responsible, and they have other people's money at their disposal, and they will dispose of it in whatever way benefits their friends and punishes their enemies. And that's just politics. And you will be a victim if you continue to hold the dollar.
Well, and I mean, the idea that anyone doesn't see this coming is kind of laughable to me, because everyone knows that if you get a government contract, oh, that's juicy. You're going to get paid now.
Yeah, 10x.
Okay, what does that mean? That means that the government gets to spend an absurd amount of money. Guess what that does to the money in your pocket?
Makes it worth less.
Exactly.
The federal government, this is MSN.com, talking about this upcoming X date, which is the day on which they will no longer be able to pay down these treasury bonds. The federal government spends more money every year than it collects in revenue, and it makes up the difference by borrowing. Congress sets a ceiling on how much the Treasury can borrow, a limit lawmakers typically then raise or suspend when they approve legislation that also requires the Treasury to spend more. And the Treasury Department makes millions of payments each month, making it difficult to prioritize some over others. The most recent debt ceiling suspension, enacted under Donald Trump in 2019, lapsed at the end of July, but raised the... That's interesting. They actually suspended the debt ceiling prior to COVID. It ended at the end of July this year, but raised the debt ceiling to cover all of the new debt issued during the suspension. That means the U.S. has a new debt ceiling, $28.4 trillion. But congressional spending by both parties requires Treasury to take on more debt, even if those programs were created months or years ago. Mm-hmm. The Treasury likely needs at least a debt ceiling of $29 trillion just to make it through this year alone. Since it came back into effect, the Treasury has funded its outstanding obligations without new borrowing, primarily through accounting gimmicks that amount to shuffling funds. And these are the extraordinary measures that we talked about earlier, but those can only last a few months absent congressional action. Budget experts are confident that government can still issue debt until the first week of October and almost certainly the second, with little adverse consequence, but estimates become hazy after that. Treasury has said the debt limit will be breached sometime in October. If you want to join us here and share your predictions, your thoughts on what happens when the government defaults on its debt, you can join us here on Free Talk Live. Coming up, more on the spending bill.
Do you feel like your country no longer holds your values? Have you dreamt of a place where liberty-minded people can come together and leave government overreach behind? There are many people just like you that are discovering FreePrivateCities.com. They start at FreePrivateCities.com and connect via the social media links shown there. All skills will be needed when the first of the Free Private Cities open. It's sooner than you think. Stop arguing and build FreePrivateCities.com. FreePrivateCities.com.
Talk Live. Phones are open here if you want to join us. We're talking about the financial nightmare that is brewing in the United States and to an extent in various countries around the world, because it certainly isn't just the U.S. that is pumping out the central bank money, the fiat money. I saw an estimate out there that it was like $29 trillion in just the during COVID that the various different governments of the world have pumped into the economies. You know, whether we're talking about Japan or China or the U.S. or whatever, it's a lot of money. It's a race to the bottom. If you want to comment here, the number again, 603-283-6160. In the studio with you is Ian.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Bonnie.
So what we've been focusing on here is this X date, which is supposedly coming up in October. They don't know whether it's going to be week one, week two, week three. They think it's going to be closer to week two or three or four than it is week one. But ultimately, they don't really know because they have no real way of predicting how much money they are going to have to pay out every single week.
Well, I still think that this is going to do the same thing that they always do, where at the last second, we all saved you. If, on the other hand, that doesn't happen, I'm betting that the official date will be Halloween.
Why?
Just for fun.
Because they like doing weird stuff like that. Mm. You know, like, we brought the troops back home on September 11th. Yeah. You know, just dumb stuff like that. But, powerful pricks tend to like doing weird stuff like that.
Well, supposedly, midnight on Thursday is going to be the shutdown deadline for the government shutdown, which would mean that, you know, October, like if they shut down the government and they stop paying these government employees for some number of weeks, wouldn't that kind of let them go a little further, right? Like if they stop paying 20% of the government employees mm-hmm. for a couple of weeks, then they might kick the can down the road
absolutely.
A little bit. The Treasury said this week, according to MSN.com, that it has roughly $300 billion on hand. Now, that might sound like a lot, but roughly $150 billion will go out in payments on October 1st. When it's required to make Social Security payments to millions of seniors and replenish Department of Defense Trust Fund.
I just looked it up, and October 13th is a Wednesday, so it's not like there's going to be a Friday the 13th for them to do it on.
As its cash has dwindled, Treasury has pulled financial assets out of various government accounts. So this is the extraordinary measures that they were talking about. They actually get into what some of them are. So they've taken assets out of various government accounts and essentially sold them to the public for cash. It has also done so by pulling U.S. Treasury bonds out of a fund for federal employees, while also suspending the purchase of new securities for the Civil Service Retirement and Disability Fund and some similar measures. Once the debt ceiling impasse is resolved, they will replenish the funds they've pulled from these accounts and holding its beneficiaries harmless. Yet these options are narrowing as the congressional standoff continues. The Biden administration has been adamant that the only way to avoid calamity is for Congress to approve a debt ceiling hike or suspension, and administration officials have rejected more heterodox economic ideas to do so unilaterally, such as having the Treasury mint a $1 trillion coin to bypass the borrowing limit. And if they're going to mint a $1 trillion coin, why not just mint 29 of them?
Indeed.
And pay off the debt.
Well, and I don't think that's going to really solve any of the problems they're trying to solve with this thing, because, I don't know, if I was an investor and suddenly I know that you're minting $1 trillion coins, I'm going to get rid of my U.S. dollars.
Right?
I'm going to be like, hey, China, let me get some of your currency.
Or get some crypto.
Yeah, right. Well, that would be a real solution.
Yeah, and this, as you pointed out earlier, Peakless, there's going to be all these people that, as soon as they realize that the gig is up, they're going to want to dump the treasury bonds.
Exactly.
Which will result in the price of the treasury bonds going below their value, and maybe significantly below their value. Because if you know they're printing $1 trillion notes, or that they can't pay their debts, then why would you buy the treasury bond, even at 20 cents on the dollar?
Indeed.
Why would you buy them on 10 cents on the dollar? You know?
And you're certainly not going to buy any new treasury bonds at that point.
No doubt.
I already don't understand why other countries buy our treasury bonds.
Well, it's happening less and less.
There's actually one very big reason for that. So if you have a treasury bond that is in U.S. dollars, then you have access to OPEC.
What's that?
So OPEC is the oil producing and exporting countries. They're basically an oil cartel.
Mm-hmm.
And they, in the 70s, again, I think around 73 or so, they made a deal that it's what you call the petrodollar, that OPEC will only ever allow any of their oil to ship anywhere ever in the world for U.S. dollars.
Yeah.
And this is
no
one
other
of those,
currency.
Yeah, and this is one of those things that if that ever changes, it's going to be a huge hit to the the hegemony of the dollar.
Oh, if that ever changes, then like it's done for. Like the entire total global economic meltdown is immediate at that point.
They should change it to Bitcoin.
That'd be amazing.
That would actually solve everything. Even as broken as Bitcoin itself is, that would actually solve like everything.
Sorry, they should change it to Bitcoin Cash.
That would be an even better solution. But they kind of like being able to kill people with it instead.
Yeah. Some liberal advocates have urged Biden to simply consider ignoring the debt ceiling and instead invoking the Constitution. Now, get this approach. It appears to require the government to meet its payment obligations. Section 4 of the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution states, quote, "The validity of the public debt of the United States, authorized by law, shall not be questioned." Now, there was an ellipsis in there, so I'm not sure what they took out, but that's what they included here in this story. Yes, it may be a violation of the Constitution, said Harvard Law professor Lawrence Tribe, whose legal advice the administration has repeatedly sought. He said in an interview, it may be a violation of the Constitution for the president to simply ignore the debt ceiling, but he says it's even more serious for him to obey the debt ceiling and have default in violation of Section 4. So which constitutional violation should they choose?
Well, I mean, I'm no expert on this one, but my understanding of it is this. So the debt ceiling was something that Congress passed.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a law.
Correct.
However, the requirement to pay your debts is actually in the Constitution. So as I understand it, that means that that's the thing you're supposed to do first.
Break the law before honoring the Constitution.
Right.
But do they ever pay attention to those details or care?
No, and there's not going to be any punishment either. I mean, if Biden ignores the debt ceiling, it's not like they're going to put the handcuffs on him and throw him in the clink.
That's a fact.
Treasury's rejected this approach, by the way, according to a spokesperson. Some experts say such a maneuver would do little to assure creditors of the reliability of the U.S. government to meet its obligations. Mm. And only Congress can assure the world the U.S. political system is functional enough to be a safe haven for investors worldwide, according to somebody speaking for Moody's Analytics. He says further, that is not going to make an investor feel comfortable that we have this under control. It not only would not work, but it would also threaten our system of government.
Well, that's a reasonable thing to point out is like, okay, well, if your executive branch is no longer obeying the financial dictates of your legislative branch, like, you're not actually... So that's the thing. They can violate all sorts of things without much recompense, but they cannot violate things that have to do with money.
They can't violate the laws of economics forever. I mean, they've been screwing it up pretty bad, but eventually, it's coming calling.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. So, I mean, investors aren't going to pull because they see that the civil liberties of Americans are being violated. That's not going to get investors to pull. You know, investors aren't going to pull. Like, there's a lot of violations of the Constitution
right.
that just aren't, investors don't care about.
Yeah.
But if you're violating the laws that you set on yourself for financial matters, then they pay attention.
Sure.
And
that matters.
And that affects them.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these people got elected because they got a lot of money. That's how this happens. That's how politicians get there. And yeah, if you start messing with that, like, it actually comes back to bite them.
Foundation for Economic Education takes a look at this $3.5 trillion plan that is the big holdup. That's what the politicians are fighting over mm-hmm. in Washington, D.C. What is it about? Well, according to Brad Palumbo, he says it is a plan that is five times the spending of FDR's New Deal. And we'll talk a little bit about that coming up here in moments. And the impasse is still happening. With an update here from the AP, as of just 38 minutes ago, the GOP has blocked a bill to keep the government going. So we may see a government shutdown here coming up later this week. If we're lucky, and if we're really lucky, they'll stay shut down for good. Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Even in these remaining moments, we have enough time for you. And as you pointed out, Bonnie, during the break, it's unusual for us to focus on basically one topic, although we've kind of been here and there within it. Of the financial situation of the federal government facing an X date coming up sometime in October.
It's just so exciting, the fact that the government could shut down and then maybe ruin, or, you know, the other potential for them to ruin their entire system.
It is very exciting.
It is very exciting.
And they will likely kick the can down the road in the last moment, as Peekless has predicted here tonight, but who knows?
Well, and I mean, it's kind of a rock and a hard place for mm-hmm. Republicans, because their whole pretense is that, see, we're the fiscal conservatives.
Yeah.
Like, we are responsible with money. I mean, they're not.
They're not.
Objectively. Very obvious.
But Republicans always forget about, you know, their history of spending like crazy when they're in charge, mm-hmm. the Republican rank and file, and then they start to believe the Republican politicians when they're no longer in power, mm-hmm. and they start sounding like fiscal conservatives mm-hmm. again.
Yep. And they're in a rock and a hard place because on the one hand, they really can't vote for, I mean, especially the combination debt ceiling increase and massive spending bill mm-hmm. will make them look terrible.
Sure.
So they can't really vote for that. But if they are responsible for like a global economic meltdown, that's not going to make them look very good either.
Well, I mean, what you're saying is people would consider them responsible, even though it's the whole government's fault,
oh, yeah,
right? Like,
absolutely.
It's not one party or another that's responsible for this, because this has been building and building and building mm-hmm. and building over time, and every single politician that has been here throughout all the recent generations has been behind this,
mm-hmm.
with the exception of maybe Ron Paul.
You know?
Here's a story from FEE, the Foundation for Economic Education, focusing on this bill that is the big controversy right now. This is the $3.5 trillion spending bill. That's what the Republicans are holding up, and that's what is going to, if it isn't taken care of.
Is the Republicans that want to spend or pass a bill where banks have to tell the IRS every time you spend more than $600?
Well, the Republicans are holding this up. Now, whether some of them support that banking regulation or not would depend on each person.
Yeah, they might want that part of it, but that is a tiny part of this incredibly large bill.
Yeah, this is like, I imagine, record spending here, from trillions in COVID-19 spending.
I mean, probably not, honestly. No? Just given that we recently had the pandemic level spending.
Sure, but that was like a $2 trillion and a 1.9, and I mean, if you add it up, then it's more. But I mean, all in like one bill, $3.5 trillion.
That might be.
That's pretty big.
Well, and part of it was like most of the spending in those bills was hidden spending. So, like, sure, this was going to create a huge amount of spending, but we could hide that and we could tuck that over in here and we can say, no, that wasn't us. That was the banks that did that part. Whereas this is just straight up, here's the number.
From trillions in COVID-19 spending to a $1 trillion plus infrastructure bill, the federal government has spent so much taxpayer money over the last year and a half that it beggars belief. You'd think the folks in D.C. would have run out of ways to waste our money by now. But Senate Democrats aren't backing down from the challenge. They just approved a stunning plan. Now, this was written, let's see, August 14th. I've been holding on to it this whole time here. So they just approved, if fully passed, a stunning plan that will confiscate and redistribute an astounding $3.5 trillion of our money in one of the greatest expansions of government control of the economy in American history. Quote, Senate Democrats took their first step toward passing a $3.5 trillion spending plan a few weeks ago as the party forges ahead with a massive economic agenda, according to CNBC. After more than 14 hours of votes on amendments, the Democrat-held chamber voted to pass the budget resolution 50-49 along party lines. The measure directs committees to craft a bill that would spend up to $3.5 trillion on climate initiatives, paid leave, childcare, education, and health care. Republicans uniformly opposed the measure. And then, you know, you get a quote from Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader. He says, the Democratic budget will bring generational transformation to how our economy works for average Americans, as though the government can do anything but make the economy worse. Because that's all they do, is the more control they have, the more regulations they pass, the more programs there are, the more taxes there are, the more the economy grinds down to a halt.
Basically. Oh, no, there's a multiplier effect. Don't you know about the multiplier effect?
No.
Haven't you heard about modern monetary theory?
Is that where they just print a bunch of money out and hope everything
works?
Oh,
it's a bunch of mythological nonsense that they talk about. Like, oh, well, you see, because we spent all of this here, it caused all of this other stuff to happen. And it's like, yeah, compared to what? See, if
compared to each individual making their own decisions about the money that they've earned rather than giving it to this criminal enterprise.
Right. Right. And that's the thing. Like, they love to point at, see, we did this, this happened, and you can see, okay, well, yes, you spent this money, this thing occurred. But that's the scene, and then there's an unseen thing where if you hadn't done that, there's a million and a half little things that we will never know are missing.
Correct. Mm. Yeah, what would you have done if you had an extra $10,000 that you didn't pay into the federal government every single year, or your family with $20,000 or whatever?
Right. Mm.
How would that change your life? Mm-hmm. What would that allow you to do? Maybe start a business that you hadn't gotten to start yet. Maybe fix your house that had been needing to be repaired.
Maybe have more time and then invent something that doesn't exist right now.
Or spend more time with your loved ones or whatever. Take your kids to the park more often. Expansions. So here's what it includes. Some of it, right? So this is just a summary of this $3.5 trillion bill. Expansions of paid family and medical leave, a buildup of child care programs, extensions of household tax credits, an expansion of Medicare benefits to include dental, vision, and hearing, and a reduction in the Medicare eligibility age, an extension of increased Affordable Care Act subsidies, universal pre-K, tuition-free community college, tax incentives and grants to encourage adoption of green energy, manufacturing and transportation, polluter fees on methane and carbon, consumer rebates to encourage clean energy and weatherization in homes, funding to increase the number of electric vehicles in the federal fleet. From making community college, quote, free, to pushing more Americans onto government's health care rolls. These expansions of the government would have too many harmful consequences to list and would further trap millions more into welfare state dependency, which is exactly right where they want you. Yep. Because if you're on the welfare rolls, if you're dependent on the state, then you will fight to keep it. You will fight to keep the state whenever there's some sort of threat to it. That's why we heard people objecting to New Hampshire seceding from the United States on the basis of, well, what about my welfare payments? That's one of the strongest reasons for people to want to stay with the federal government, is a check.
We'll have these peons voting big government for the next century.
To the rest of their lives. But simply focusing on the public finance aspect of the plan, this level of government expenditure is truly astronomical. To put it into context, $3.5 trillion is $24,424 per federal taxpayer. It's roughly five times larger than Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal after adjusting for inflation. That's pretty important.
That is important.
Yeah, I wondered about that earlier.
Yeah, the New Deal is one of the biggest expansions of government in our history.
Oh, yeah.
And this is five times larger after adjusting for inflation.
Yeah. Well, and so the crash that they say caused the depression had actually happened 10 years earlier. Mm. Like the exact same circumstance. It happened in 1921, but there was no interference.
So it bounced back.
Yeah, bounced back immediately. Whereas that crash happened, massive government interference, and you get the 30s.
This proposal for record-breaking expenditures comes as the federal government is already drowning in $227,000 of debt per federal taxpayer. It would further burden future generations with trillion-dollar annual interest payments that must be funded with new taxes, slower economic growth, lower incomes, and decreased private sector investment, innovation, and opportunity. While much of the spending will be piled into the debt, the proposal also includes tax increases on individuals and businesses. And what's more, it comes at a time when the economy is rapidly rebounding, not struggling, and we're already experiencing alarming levels of price inflation that are eating away at America's paychecks and purchasing power.
And you better believe that the biggest form of taxation that they're going to do with that is by inflating the dollar further.
Sure are. Simply put, this unprecedented blowout will bankrupt America, and it would do so in pursuit of expansions of government power and control that are almost uniformly bad ideas in their own right. Senate Democrats may love the idea of controlling trillions more of our dollars to dole out to their allied interests and politically favored industries, but taxpayers should not stand for it. Unfortunately, taxpayers, the only way they can have any effect is by refusing to participate in the dollar economy and getting out and getting their value put into alternatives like cryptocurrency or gold or silver, anything besides the dollar. If you hold the dollar over this period of inflation, you are going to be victimized.
And you can just stop being a taxpayer.
Well, that's another option as well. But again, if they can just hit the print button, it doesn't matter whether or not you pay taxes. That's the power of inflation. Taxes are just a show.
It does matter what you offer your goods and services for.
That's true. See you tomorrow night. Online in the meantime, you can join us over at freetalklive.com. You decide what to do.
When Monster Hunter International discovers one of Isaac Newton's wardstones being auctioned off, they decide to steal it and use it to destroy the Chaos God once and for all. But a mysterious thief upends their plan, and it soon becomes a race against time as something much older and infinitely more evil awakens in the jungles of South America. Monster Hunter Bloodlines by New York Times bestselling author Larry Correa and Bain Books. Visit MonsterHunterNation.com for more.